Yo, just want to give a quick shout out to our official sponsor. You already know, Lowland Dough. Lowlanddough.com, the number one premier provider of organic and all natural non-GMO personal care goods for the entire family, men, women, and babies. Make sure you guys go to lowlanddough.com, check out all of the great products we have for your body, for your skin, for your face, for your hair, for your toes, for your nails, all of that good shit. You know what I'm saying? Go to lowlanddough.com, type in REBEL, Rebel, at checkout, and get 10% off your entire purchase. Now let's get on with the show. What's going on, you intelligent, rebellious people? It's your boy Doe Dubes coming live and direct again, once again, for episode 8 of the Intelligent Rebel Squad cast. And when I say we got a show this week, nigga, we got a show this week. So, as you can see in the title, Raps and Hustles. Now, quick little gem before we get into the content. Raps and Hustles is actually the song, or the title of a song, from one of my favorite artists, Currency the Hot Spitter. He actually is mentioned in this episode. It's actually funny how that worked out. And yeah, it's from his mixtape run in the early 2000s. I'm a big fan. So, you know, I felt like this title was definitely fitting. So shout out to Spitter for that. Alley-oop on that. So, Raps and Hustles. Drawing a parallel between the rap game and the trap game. Does trap music make you want to trap? Does trap music influence the listeners? The everyday listeners that maybe not from the culture, to the actual niggas out there in the street trapping, to other rappers who want to get into the game or aspires to make music. We talk about that in this episode. So what I did was, to make sure that I had a full circle perspective of 360, what I did was, I hollered at my man Dell. My man Dell out in LA, he works for OnSmash.com. Now, if you don't know who or what OnSmash.com is, OnSmash.com is a legendary hip-hop website that I'm more than sure that your favorite artist pays homage to, because they put them on, they featured them on that website, and that got them exposure. So my man Dell is actually backstage with the artists. He's actually in the crowds with the fans. He's on stage, and he's seeing the climate of rap music and what trap music has become. Then I went outside and actually hollered at my trap niggas out there in Philly and asked them what their perspective on the trap music is and their trapping. And then I brought it full circle and hollered at my man King Cassius out there in Flint, Michigan, where he is balancing currently the life of a rap nigga and a trap nigga, and how he's maneuvering through both of those lanes currently in the environment that he's living in. So I'm real excited for y'all to get with this episode, get in tune and listen to it. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to talk y'all ears off, as you already know. But before we get into it, I swear to God, I'm going to go after this. Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you follow me on iTunes and SoundCloud. Follow me on Twitter at DoeDubes, at Rebellious Intel, or both on Twitter. Holla at me, man. So you already know what you need to do to get ready for this episode. Roll something, pack something, and get ready for the Intelligent Rebel Squad Cast. We got my man Dell, representative of On Smash. On Smash is finally free. You feel me?
At last, man.
Hell yeah, hell yeah. So, we already know that my man Dell is a true blue LA nigga, you know what I'm saying? And coming up in that area, I'm pretty sure you've seen a lot of things go down after the birth of gangster rap. So, let's talk about as far as you coming up and you know, NWA and all of these things that's coming up on the scene now. And how did you see your neighborhood and your environment change?
I'm a late 80s baby, so it's 88, you know what I'm saying? I was kind of like the tail end of NWA, so I can't really say a lot about I was in that mix and shit, you know what I'm saying? I know my pops knew Easy and them, they was at the funeral. I can't say I was in that mix. The Watts Riot era and the heavy influence gang culture era, it was real. Like, all the shit you see on the Minister Society, that was actually real. These actually situations that our aunties and uncles was put in. So I was actually scared to go outside. My mom used to keep me inside. You know what I'm saying? So I don't feel like this new NWA movie depicted how it really felt. That kind of was like, it was dope, but it was kind of like a little bit watered down. Like, but it definitely was in those early 90s, late 80s. It was scary in South Central LA, man. It definitely was scary. The music that they was making, that's what was going down. You know what I'm saying? Even though Cube and the rest of them niggas, people are calling them out for not being in the street, but that's what they were seeing.
So jumping right into it, let's understand that in this perspective, gangsters made gangster rap. Gangster rap didn't make gangsters. This is all based on the realities of what's really going on in South Central LA at this time. So the people who would normally be doing the shit out in the street now have access to a studio. Now they can record music. So this is what's going on in these streets. So because Dell is from the post NWA, you know, after the gangs are already in effect, full effect, you know, I asked him, you know, what was coming out of his speakers in his crib, what was coming out of the speakers when he went outside, and what was going on, what was the climate in his neighborhoods, what did it look like, what did it sound like, you know, what was going on.
I consider myself a 90s baby, so I'm like 88, 89, but it was more the era where Cube took that trip to the East Coast and got that blessing from the Public Enemy, Zulu Nation. He came back. That's when Cube was on a lot of fuck the white man shit, doggy style. You know what I'm saying? Chronic. I'm from that era, like Death Row. I can't really say NWA, but definitely Death Row, late Ruthless, like Bone Thugs. That was a lot that was coming out of my parents, by my mom's speakers. You know what I'm saying? A lot of that doggy style. She would let me listen to it too. You know what I'm saying? My mom was from Hoover gang banging too. You know what I'm saying? But she would let me listen to this shit. You know what I'm saying? Because that's what was going on. But I never got influenced by any. Like me, I'm different. I already had knew that my father was killed. You know what I'm saying? My father was shot 9 times. So that I was frightened, like, yo, I don't want anything to do. I would listen to this from afar, but I don't want anything to really do with this life. You know what I'm saying? That's still me. People close to my dad was killed. Niggas getting revenge for the killing of my father and this and that. Niggas coming shooting this and that. I didn't want any involvement, so I tried to stay clear all that. You know what I'm saying? But I definitely indulged and listened because it was going, you know what I'm saying? This was stuff that was going on around us. You know what I'm saying?
So as you can imagine, Dell is one of thousands, if not millions, of children coming up in this era where their entire family most times are gang affiliated and they're going through this stuff. You know what I'm saying? He's not that different in that aspect, but where he does differentiate himself from a lot of the youth that was coming up in this era that he didn't get into this life, it actually made him not want to get into it. You got a lot of kids who would have seen these things and it actually would have attracted them to it, because that is how these young kids are doing it today. A lot of these young kids are, you know, becoming rap fans, or a lot of these kids are rap fans and actually want to, you know, really emulate these rappers.
Let's talk about these days. Like, these niggas, these kids look up to the rappers for real. Like, and it's because these kids ain't really been through nothing. You know what I'm saying? You done been through shit. You done had to sell drugs.
Right.
Or you done had to be on your last limbs. Like, I gotta get this off. I'm not gonna be able to eat. These kids ain't really been through shit, so they want to live through these trap rappers and shit, sip activists. I be at these shows. It's predominantly white kids. I don't know why people think that black people are the... These are predominantly... I be at these shows backstage with these rappers going on these stages. It's predominantly white. Predominantly white. Sipping lean. They wear their Supreme shit. I don't know. I don't get it. I don't get the new age shit, though. I don't really get it, man. I really thought you had to live what you were saying. Now it's niggas with... I don't believe none of the shit they be saying, but I really thought you had to live what you saying. Now it's just anybody could come out and say anything about you just trapped, you selling drugs, you... I don't get it, man, but yeah, kids do believe these people, man, and they want to be like them.
Right.
They want to be like the rappers, man. They really do.
So you got people who listen to Future and shit like that. Little niggas who never had to go through nothing, but now because they got the money to fucking, you know, buy a whole... fucking pint of activists or whatever. Exactly. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, everybody know that activist is bread, my nigga. Like, you need to, like, exactly. You gotta have bread for activists. So it's exactly. Like, when these little niggas who aren't from this type of life start to emulate that shit, then it gets picked up through mainstream. And then, of course, the subsequent consequences of that shit is the niggas who actually still living that life, I feel, in my personal opinion, feel validated for the shit that they doing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
cause like,
yeah, you're right. You're right.
You know,
right.
That's my thing, because I even talk to, you know, the niggas on the block, like, they going to be on the episode as well, where they, you know, they speak on exactly why they got into the life, what music they was listening to, because, like, another argument that they have, you know, even with Hov, you know what I'm saying? Scarface the movie did more than Scarface the rapper to me, you know what I'm saying? Shit like that, so it's not to, you know, they don't want to put the blame on that, you know, on the rappers or whatever, you know what I'm saying? But I do feel like there's little niggas coming up who are listening to these niggas that do live in the hood, and it's like, yo, you know what I'm saying? Who are influenced over this shit? Cause like, niggas ain't listening to Nas If I Rule the World when he about to go ride on a nigga. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like the music does have an influence on it, and I just really wanted to, you know, to touch in on that, cause you seen this shit. You seen little niggas, niggas you grew up with, who was, you know, Dale, you ready to ride or whatever, and you like, nigga, well, I'm gonna go do this thing. But these niggas, they got the CD player, they about to hop in the car, and you know what they listening to. You know what I mean? So that's my thing. So I just wanted to be able to draw that.
I feel like, what was our era? Like, the early, like, what's our, like, real golden era? Like, the 50 Cent Dips era? Like,
yeah, that's, I feel
that
like,
that influenced us too. I'm gonna come clean. That shit really influenced us.
Dell ain't never lied, man. When I was out there doing my thing, we was listening to The Unit, we was listening to D-Block, we was listening to Dipset. You know what I'm saying? We was listening to Rockefeller, State Property. You know, that's the music that we was listening to. And that was just our background music. That was what we got in our systems to get piped up for the shit that we was about to get, you know, get it in with. And that's how we handled it. And one of the things that we also figured out, just through conversation again, is just how the state of the substances in rap have changed over the years. And how, like, now taking hardcore drugs is now the new ill shit to do. That's the dope shit to do. And how it's affecting the game.
RIP to the homie. That was my nigga Yams, man. When he passed away, that shit really made me look at all this shit like, nah, man, it's not. This is, they really doing drugs. Like, these are, these things are really killing these kids. Like, they're really doing drugs. Like, they're really mixing things that's not supposed to be mixed that can kill you.
Dog, like they really, I mean, you hear it in the raps or whatever, and it sound, because of course we love high numbers of shit. That's why niggas say I don't spend nothing but at least a half a million on a car and shit like that. So when you hear high numbers, like I done took 56 fucking Zans, and you know what I'm saying, shit like that, you hear high numbers like, holy shit, you know what I'm saying? And you really like, but you don't understand, like, this is liquid heroin, my nigga. Like, these, the chemical compounds of promethazine and codeine is the same that's in heroin. You know what I'm saying? It's just medical grade. But it's like, fuck that, we getting turnt. You know what I mean? And it's, that, yo, you know, like, we didn't, our favorite rappers was smoking Dutches. You know what I mean? They wasn't even smoking, you know what I mean? They wasn't even smoking papers. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, they wasn't on that shit. Like, you had the you know, the Wu-Tang era where they smoking cocaine in they blunts. Then that wasn't our shit. Then we grew up when it was just niggas smoking Dutch Masters and drinking Henny. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I don't, it definitely took me by surprise that now that I'm, you know, I'm 19, 21, 23, and I see these niggas, like, you getting high, my nigga. Like, we saw that shit with, like, Ja Rule. Ja Rule was wilding off the X. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that was the crazy shit to do. But now niggas are saying all types of shit.
Like, when do you feel like this kind of, like, extreme pill epidemic came? Like, we're doing pills and just mixing any shit. When did that, like, what era was that? Like,
yo, like I said, I think it started with the X. You know what I'm saying? Niggas, I remember, like, when you saw, like, old footage, maybe, like, 04, like back when, you know, like just home flip phone footage was being sparingly loaded up. You saw the niggas in New Orleans, you know, popping three beans. You know, that's when they was calling beans and shit like that. And niggas always been drinking lean throughout the whole shit. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? But I think the pills, like, honestly, I think it started from what happened in the beginning. And, like, the only thing I could think of is just, yeah, the niggas, the footage that I was seeing, the niggas popping ecstasy. You know what I'm saying? Like, ecstasy was real big. Eminem was real big into it. Ja Rule
was.
That's
what I was going to say. I think M might have ushered in, like, fuck it. We just taking all kinds of, you know what
yeah,
I'm saying?
M, like, because M, yeah, M had the mushrooms. You know what I'm saying? That song he did, I Never Meant to Give You Mushrooms, Girl. Yeah, and that shit, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, that's when I really think the drugs really started coming in. M had the pill as the album cover, you know what I'm saying, and shit like that. So I would have to think it was Eminem in that era bringing it in with the pills.
if you was doing something that wasn't weed, niggas would be like, ah, he a dope head.
Yeah, but like you was, yeah. Yo, that shit is so crazy. Like, you was a clown.
But now, you was a clown. Like, doing everything, nigga, you lit. I be at this shit like, niggas be like, oh, he's lit. You're about to die. Like, you're not about to be alive.
Shit is so wild, son. So it's like, all right, because you can't have the user without the seller, you feel me? And I'm not, like I said, I'm not trying to bag on rap, nigga. I rap. I love rap. I grew up on rap. So it's not like I'm like, oh, Shame, Future Shame, Meek Mill Shame, all these people that...
We love y'all.
Yeah, like, we fuck with y'all, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. My whole point is that it has to be some type of responsibility. Like, there has to be, you know, some type of accountability when it comes to the music, you know what I'm saying? I feel like there has been a wave of bullshit that you can't counterbalance with shit. Like, the niggas, they clown you. They call you, you know, they call you boring. You know what I'm saying? J. Cole try to say some shit. Niggas say he's corny. You know what I'm saying? Like, niggas don't, it's not a balance no more. Because, like, even in the 90s, you know what I'm saying? You may have, you know, a nigga like DMX or somebody, but you still had Tribe or you still had Nas or, you know what I'm saying? And it was just as popular. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
I feel like niggas... Like, on the episode 5, when I did Unity, I got the, you know, the joint for 2 minutes where I'm talking about make it cool for niggas caring about their community. I said that, you know what I'm saying? And it's like, niggas, of course, I'm not really known like that as a rapper, so I don't really trip over the reviews because they're usually positive because they're coming from niggas that fuck with me. But when I think, when I look at music from people that are known, you know what I'm saying? It's shunned a little bit. Like, they clown it like, you know, just a smart, like the smart kid in class. You know what I'm saying? The nigga who sit at the front of the bus. The nigga who wanted to be at class on time. And shit like that. It's like, oh, you a little nerd ass nigga or whatever. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
You know what I'm saying? I don't even smoke it. So I still get that. So, you know what I'm saying? I guess smoking weed is just boring. You know what I'm saying? What you, your content is just, we chilling. You know what
I'm
saying? Why do we got, like, we just chilling, man. You know what I'm saying? We not doing nothing, man. We chilling. We not killing nobody. We smoking.
And that's what it is. And I don't feel like that shit is being pushed. I would rather a nigga like Wiz, or, you know, it's like, I like the fact that Wiz is popping because Wiz ain't talking about, you know, killing nothing, you know what I'm saying, or whatever. The worst this nigga talk about is just getting drunk or fucked up at a party or some shit or whatever. And that got his own little connotations to it. But if a nigga got his business together, you could party. You know what I'm saying? But I just, you know, personally, as a man, shit, as a father, you know what I mean? I don't want my daughter to feel like she need to have a big ass or huge titties or, you know what I'm saying, or have my son feel like he need to fucking prove his manhood by taking another man's life or you know what I'm saying, or selling drugs or some shit like that. Like, and that's the shit that I asked the trap niggas, like, yo, would you want your son or your daughter doing the shit that you doing? And they be like, nah. Everybody says nah. And that only makes sense, right? No matter what you're doing, whether you're a truck driver, a coal miner, a ditch digger, no matter what it is, if you feel like your son and daughter deserves a better life, or if your son and daughter doesn't need to do those struggles, you're gonna do what's necessary for them not to do it. But one thing that we can't forget or negate is that this hustling, you know, the drugs and all of that, is negative in nature. It doesn't help you pass the monetary. And Dell had asked me a question that really has been on my mind for some time now, pretty much since Lil Mom was about, like, maybe 2 or 3 years old.
Since you're a father and your daughter's coming up in this new age of just, I don't know what to call it. Are you worried? Are you strapping up? Like, I gotta keep her. Are you strict?
Yo, on a more, like, on a funny level, my nigga, I'm not fucking with none of these little niggas, dog. Like, none of these little niggas my daughter's age. Cause, you know, I got my young daughter, of course, Lil Ma, which you named, by the way. Like, I don't think niggas know that. Like, yeah, that's Lil Ma. You know what I'm saying? And then, of course, my sweet Lola, she has a daughter. She just turned 12 last month. So I'm dealing with both, you know, both ages, you feel me? And it's like, I have hope, of course, as a father and the young men coming up, you know what I'm saying, like that. But, you know, it gets a little discouraging when you see 30-second videos of niggas, little boys my age, wilding, you know what I'm saying, twerking on, you know what I'm saying, like, backing, you know what I'm saying, going up behind girls, cursing and doing a bunch of wild shit, and of course the adults are condoning it because they recording it, you know what I'm saying. And then you got little 12-year-old boys who getting sucked off and shit like that with his homies, and, you know, and it's not scary because I'm not scared of these little niggas because I have no problem bringing the fire to them or their fathers. Like, that has, like, I have no qualms with this shit at all. Like, I will box you little niggas or your father, whichever. You know what I'm saying? Like, my daughters, as they father, they good as far as those two young ladies. But young ladies, period, yo, I'm scared. I am, you know, I am worried for them because maybe they come up like I did. I ain't had no men in my house. It was literally three generations of women. My mother, my sister, and my grandmother. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm getting all of that.
That's how we came up. So we know what, like, we know what's going on. Like, we sensitive towards women. You know right. what I'm saying? Us specifically. Like, because this is all we got. You know what I'm saying? This is how we came up in a house full of women. So we sensitive towards women. So you got a daughter. So I'm always thinking, like, damn, this world fucked up. How dope living. You
know yeah, I'm son. Like, yo, son, I put that in the song, like, yo, like, as far as, like, daughters, like, it's harder for to be raising a daughter, whether you a father or mother, to have a girl and be in a society where, like, dead ass, like, you just an object. Like, you know what yeah. I'm saying? As much as these niggas give, you know, like, the bullshit feminists online hell, like, these women have true blue, like, for real ass issues with the men, not just, you know, in America or whatever, but in their community. Like, yo, I be chilling with this nigga, my nigga Lil. You know what I'm saying? And this nigga, he really be catcalling on some shit. Like, yo, like, he be bugging. And he thinks that shit has a success rate good enough to keep doing it. And I be like, Lil, my nigga, like, stop doing that shit, son. Stop you. That's not going to get you what you think. Because any girl, you know, who's going to oblige you for that shit, it's not, and it's not right, my nigga. It's not correct. I got a 6-year-old and a 12-year-old, and they need to be in a society where they're gonna be treated with some fucking respect. And that's real. Like, think about it. When it comes to our music and the shit that we listen to, why is it that disrespecting women is so glorified? Why is it that disrespecting yourself or disrespecting your community is so praised in this music? And it's just something that we need to start taking a look at. You know what I mean? So in this conversation, me and Dell, you know, we were chopping it up about that. And just as far as how the rappers and just the musicians and all of that really may have misconstrued the way they feel about their fans. We got our favorite rappers sometimes calling us broke ass motherfuckers. Like, them niggas are dead ass, like, list the criteria on, like, almost specifically, like, yo, nigga, if you live this way, you smoking this much, you got this much in your pocket, nigga, I don't fuck with you, but buy my album fucking July 23rd, it's gonna be lit. And it's like, yo, like, that shit is crazy.
That's the funny thing you said. I was taking my mama somewhere the other day. We was going Christmas shopping, and he was in the car listening. We was listening to something. It might have been Future or something, but nigga just... My mama, like, you just gonna let him talk to you like the whole time. He's telling me what I don't have. He's gonna fuck my bitch. Then my mom was like, so this is just what y'all do? Listen to people talk shit about y'all, and you are broke. You know what I'm saying? She was just really trying to, like, damn, like, Future, come on, man. Like,
yeah. Like, and then... That shit is crazy. And then it's like, when you get them in an intimate setting, when it's one-on-one, it's like, yo, it's the fans, man. I couldn't do it without the fans. And the shit is like, okay, my nigga, like, why we gotta wait for this? Why we gotta wait for the interview for you to, cause, like, on the record, my nigga, we ain't shit. Like, for real. Like, yo, did you hear Cabin Fever, my nigga?
Yeah, I heard Cabin Fever.
Son, did you hear the nigga talking shit? Like, yo, he was like, nigga, I don't give a fuck about your problems, nigga. I was like, damn, son. He was like, niggas is driving Benzes, nigga.
It's just rapper shit, man. That's what I just call it. Like, that's just what I just chalk it up to. It's rapper shit, man. They got it. You know what I'm saying? These guys did come from nothing, so they don't know how to act sometimes.
Yeah.
So that's what I just chalk it up to. It's just the system. It's rapper shit. Fuck it, nigga. We got it. Fuck it. Y'all don't have it.
Yeah,
that's how they feel, like.
Exactly. And I can't be too mad at it. It's just funny to see. And that's my thing, man. I just think that at the end of the day, if we just had the balance, man, if we had what these motherfuckers like to consider Hotep or whatever, if we just had some uplifting shit at the same time, it's like, yo, at least it'll be the conversation. It's like, my nigga, you know, you don't have to do them Zans, my nigga, or whatever, like, to be popping. Like, you, these niggas dead ass son. You seen the Supreme little niggas. You know what I'm saying? Like, they cash out and shit like that because they feel like, I'm not going to be recognized. I'm not going to be acknowledged out here if I don't have the Supreme backpack.
The Supreme backpack and the $500 act. You got a lot of money. actually getting the money from something. Like, you have on a $200 shirt, $600 backpack with the activist in the lane. That's already two racks. I'm trying to figure out, like, why, where do they get the money from? Like, I've been thinking about going down Fairfax by the Supreme Store, like, ask, like, where do y'all niggas get this money from?
My right, dad? Son, because they cash out, son. Like, and I'd be like, wow, son, like, this is incredible. And at the end of the day, son, when it's like 8 p.m. on a Thursday, these niggas be zombies, son. And I'd be like,
man.
I'd be like, son, this is wild, son. You know you only 20 years old, right? Like,
and in this industry, I feel like I be having to go through these things for work, and I feel like the old man. Like, it be niggas walking around just fucked up, and I just be taught, like, I be wanting to just enlighten them, like, my nigga, why are you doing this? But I don't want to be the...
Nobody wants to be the buzzkill. Nobody wants to be the party pooper. Nobody wants to be the fun police, because in our heart of hearts, we want our peers and just the people that we see to be happy. And we understand, especially me specifically, I can understand how drugs and shit like that can make you happy. But at the end of the day, yo, there are consequences to these things. And a lot of these things wouldn't be a thing if it wasn't for the content that they ingest. And I think we need to take a look at that and start to reform those things too. Dell went on to tell me about all of the things that he sees because he's backstage at these shows, because he's with the artists, because he sees the fans and all of that. He actually gave me a better scope, you know, just of the energy that's going on in these venues and the people that are there, the people that are attending and all of that.
Yeah, just chilling with artists is dope. Like, just without backstage, it's dope. When I first started doing this thing, I didn't know that the crowd, like, being outside looking in, I didn't know that this was a predominantly white business. I didn't know that at first. I'm thinking that this is African American, because it's black inspired. So I'm thinking that black people are spending money. When you go to these shows, backstage is predominantly white. Everyone out here is predominantly white. It's like, damn, we the only black. It's only like six black people here, and they're the performers and the camera people.
Damn.
So it's like, That's what kind of threw me off. Like, damn.
Yo, you know what's so wild about that? Son, I finally got to see my nigga Spitter, dog. I finally...
Shout out to the homie Spitter, man.
Man, shout out to Spitter, man. Now, you already know I've been this nigga's biggest fan for years now. And yeah. I finally got to see him. And my nigga, no word of a lie. It was niggas in there, of course. But son, niggas, white niggas, like mad white dudes was around me. Cause you know, I'm wilding off of elevated music. Like all of the old shit, you know, I'm wilding. Yo, it's mad white dudes, son. And I'm just like, yo, son, it was so crazy. Like, it's just because the hippest rap shit before Spitter was the Roots Festival. And that was, you know, ASAP was there, Ray Shrimmer was there. You know what I'm saying? But the main event was the Roots and, you know, Erykah Badu. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, you talking about when he came out to Philly?
Yes.
Did Hov come out there?
Huh?
Oh, the Hov come out there?
Nah, son, the locks came.
Okay.
Yeah, it was fire, my nigga, for real. And you know what's so funny? I talked to my pops, you know what I'm saying, like the week after that or some shit like that. He was like, you know, I was out in Philly for the Roots picnic. I'm like, nigga, you was at the Roots picnic? You ain't hit my jack or not? Yo, I'm in the same venue as this man. Because, you know, this shit was like 11 hours long, son. I was there the whole time. And he was there the whole time, son. And I was like, yo, that's crazy. I probably walked past that man probably 10 times, son. Like, it was crazy. But yeah, son.
How was the crowd there? It was diverse? Or was just
yeah,
like
it was very diverse. Very, very. You know what I'm saying? I couldn't even pinpoint what was more predominant in the crowd, to be totally honest. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was a definitely good mixture. My nigga Reggie P, nigga says real ethnic. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? So yeah, it was a dope experience, man. The only person I ain't really, you know, fuck with. I mean, at the time, of course, you at the concert or whatever, it was cool. But the weekend, you know what I'm saying? He ain't really wow me like that. But you know,
oh, yeah, I'm not really a fan of dude.
Yeah, Abel, he's just cool. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, live, just cool. Or whatever. He's just cool.
Yeah, but yeah. So yeah, I was kind of, you know, surprised by that. You know what I'm saying? Because we know about the hype beast. We know about hype beast 10 years ago. You know
exactly,
what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So it's like I got it, but I didn't know it was that magnitude. You know what I'm saying? When
yeah,
I went to the Spitter show,
like, yeah, it's like, man, people love black people.
Yes.
Like, they look at, like, I didn't really know, like, until I started going to these shows and going around certain people, going to events, like, damn, we are the star, like,
yeah, we the standard. Like, yo, think about in the entire time that you've been alive, my nigga. Like, even because, you know, even before this, but like, what black people do is the standard. Like, yeah. Yo, everything we do is the standard, yo. Like, no matter what, the way we dress, the way we talk, the way we walk, the way we sing and rap, the way we act, all of that shit, you know what I'm saying? It's the standard. Like, you're not cool unless you acting black. Like, exactly. You know what I'm saying? And that shit is just
That's crazy.
Like, and I feel like, you know what I'm saying, to even touch on just an outside point, is that we not getting all our coins, man. We not getting all our chips from this shit. Like, we allowing a lot of motherfuckers who don't come from the culture to make the bulk, to make the most money and shit. You know what I mean? Like, I have absolutely no problem with white people being in the crowd. What I do...
But the devil's advocate, this is the thing with us. We don't, as far as the artists, like, we don't want to support, like, it'd be all white people in the fucking crowd, but it's like, man, these niggas paid this $120 ticket to get in this fucking... You know what I'm saying?
Then I speak on it. This is a big... You already know how I get down with group economics and all that.
As far as us African-Americans, I feel like, damn, we ain't gonna pipe... Like, my nigga Spitter just hit... Like, Smooza texted me, like, did y'all buy the album? Because we was trying to get the... I was trying to text Spitter, tell him to fucking tweet the link to the shit. And Smooza hit me like, dog, did y'all buy the new album? I'm like... I thought, like, nah, I didn't buy the album, but I'm like, damn, let me go get the album. Then I texted back. You know what I'm saying? Because, damn, I didn't buy the album. You gotta we don't be supporting these people, our own. These white people do. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I can't really get mad when I see a crowd predominantly white, because, damn, they paid this fucking $80 ticket, and I'm on a guest list.
Just word. Just chilling. Word, right? Yeah,
and
son.
And mad if they don't hit me back. Like, nigga, work. Like, and get mad.
Like, nigga, I'm entitled to this backstage. Yeah. Nigga, I'm with the press. Nigga, what the fuck you mean?
Exactly.
Yo, that's funny, my nigga. Yo, son, just a little fucking funny thing. I walk into the venue. Of course, Moosa right there in front with the merch. So, of course, I had brought a package from Lowland Doe, and I slid it to Moosa or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, son, make sure Spitter get this. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, whenever y'all having the next casual conversation, just be like, yo, son, did you slide that?
The funny thing is, the first time I thought my life was finna end, it was with Spitter, because I never had smoke. And fucking, I was trying to be, let me get these bars out, man. I tried to be, we was in fucking Orange County. I think it was Orange County. Spitter and them told me to come to LA. I was too far. I was at my mama's house. My mom lived in Orange County, so I'm like, nah, I can't come there. And then Moose, like, oh, we'll be out Orange County in like an hour. I got a show. So, all right, Spitter got a show, so I'm like, I'll meet y'all up there. So we get to the show. What's homie name? Corner Boy P?
Mm-hmm.
I walk upstairs, say what's up to Spitter and them. Spitter goes on stage. I walk back upstairs to just chop it up with Corner Boy P, and then Corner Boy P was like, nigga, why was you not at the, what's his first album called? Like, his first official Warner Brothers album called?
Stoned Immaculate?
Stoned Immaculate. He was having a listening session at Diamond, and I didn't come. So... Corner Boy P was asking me, like, Dale, my nigga, why you didn't come to the why he was smoking? Dale, why you didn't come to the listening, my nigga? Why he's smoking, he's passing me the blunt. And I felt like, damn, I didn't come to the listening. Let me take
this. At the very least,
I don't even know what I'm doing, though. I didn't come to listen, fuck it. Let me take this blunt, though, and pretend like I know what I'm doing. Puff the blunt, though. Don't know what I'm doing. Give me the blood back. My mama, my bad, my nigga, like, I couldn't make it. I was at my mama's house. But I'm like, I don't know what's going on in my body right now. what is about to happen? I'm like, damn, like, I'm sitting like, dog, what is really about to happen?
So holy I'm thinking, shit. Like,
everything normal, you know what I'm saying? Everything's still normal, but when I get home, I'm thinking I'm finna die. Like, okay, this is it. I text my little brother, like, dog, this is it. I fuck with you, man. This is it. Yeah, like, this is really it. Like, so I'm not a smoker, though, man. I tried, though. Shout out Corner Boy P. I'm saying to Jeff, I tried, man. I'm going to tell Spitter when I see him that story, but that shit almost died, my nigga.
Yo, that's...
I'm not a drug person at all, man. I'm not a drug guy.
Yo, stay clean, my G. Don't. Yo, that's crazy, son. Oh my god. Nigga hit the weed once, son.
Hit it like that. I have to hit it.
Yo, dog. That fucking story cracks me up every time I fucking hear it. And I've heard it like 10 times, 20 times since I've been editing this fucking episode, dog. And it's fucking hilarious. But yo, man. All jokes aside, man. That was, you know, some important shit just because Black people do need to support their own way more. We do need to get behind our artists, you know, our entrepreneurs and all of that, you know what I'm saying? And on the other side of that, we do need to start taking responsibility for the sort of contradiction that rap has when it comes to social issues on top of the content that they deliver.
Like, okay, now let's take it to Chicago. Chicago is heavily, you know what I'm saying, ganging. It's a big gang culture. I listen to the music. It's a lot of, like, dissing each other's dead homies and dissing this.
Yeah,
and
it's
this
real disrespectful, so though.
But then when I go, I love Chicago. I've been there. Shout out LAP. I've been there, too, man. I've been there a couple times. I love Chicago. Dope city. Dope black people. But how can they, you know what I'm saying, I just heard you say you're going to kill this man's brother and this fuck is dead homie. Now we hopping on interviews saying that the police is hurting us. That'd be my only issue with black, like, artists and music. And, like, okay, the police hurting us, but you just was gonna kill me. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That'd be my only issue.
Bruh, man. And that's the thing. The reason why. I said this in the last episode when I was talking to Issa. I was saying the reason why that the crime in the community, or what you would call black-on-black crime, the reason why niggas shun that shit and just push it to the side is because the first person to say this shit on air was white people. So you got black people mad about Mike Brown being killed, and then you got dickhead-ass white people talking about, well, what about black-on-black crime? Now, of course, the point is valid, but because the source that it came from, niggas was like, man, fuck that. Y'all not gonna make an excuse. So overall, that's always been a thing. And another thing they say, oh, well, black, the niggas who get killed in the hood, they get arrested. And I'm like, whoa, when did you, like, yes, they get arrested more, but it's a considerable a percent of murders in the neighborhoods that do not get solved whatsoever. Straight up, like, let's understand that we are killing ourselves or killing each other way faster than police are. So, like, we can't do that. And that's what I'm saying. We had basically sensationalized police brutality to the point that we took no responsibility that these mothers and fathers are out here not raising their kids the way they're supposed to be. Like, you got these little niggas out here thinking that it's okay to do all of this reckless shit. They come home, they no responsibility for their homework, no responsibility for their schoolwork, no responsibility for the way they act outside. None of this shit. And then they out there doing bad shit, get their ass popped by a police officer. Then it's like, yo, you murdered my son. And yes, he did murder your son. But all day long, your son was out there doing bad shit for 5 years strong since he was 13.
And the truth hurts. It just, when you just said that, I was like, damn. But it's like, fuck, the truth hurts, man. Shit, it happened like that, man.
Exactly.
It starts at home. Like, these parents ain't, you know what I'm saying? It starts at home, man.
It always starts at home, man. And that's what I'm saying. And, like, I be trying to get that through people, you know what I'm saying, to try to, like, cause the thing is, it's like, when it comes to my position, it's like, I don't want to shame nobody, you feel me? Like, I don't want you niggas to feel like y'all niggas is this or that. But at the same time, y'all are, because y'all keep perpetuating this shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, when I was coming up, you know what I'm saying? The biggest thing was to be able to have money, have guns, and have drugs. Like, that was the hot shit, my nigga. Nobody was worrying about becoming an engineer or a fucking astrophysicist or a doctor. Like, nobody give a fuck about that, my nigga. Like, that shit was corny, my nigga. It took too much work, a bunch of big words. Nigga, you already know. Like, I was on fucking the internet all day, so you know I wasn't at school. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, yo, that shit was mad corny. And it, like, now we trying to reverse that shit. And I am happy that a lot more of our, you know, youth and all of that, they're getting better at certain things. But there's still the core children, and we can't forget about the problem children. You know what I'm saying? These niggas is not, you know, lost causes. We just can't keep throwing them in fucking juvie and then throwing them in jail and throwing them in prison. You know what I'm saying? And now, you know, this nigga's like 24 years old and the feds doing 30. Exactly. Like, damn, son. Like, we couldn't have did nothing for him.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, why haven't we, like, these little niggas that be out here, son, there's so many things that you could do to put these niggas in the right position. These niggas is only selling drugs for money. These niggas don't have no affinity towards the drug. They don't believe in it. Like, it's a product that they came up with years ago, and they want this dream. It's not a dream come true to sell crack. It's money coming true. So if these little niggas just had money in their pocket, they would stop, yo. They would stop, yo. If they was able to do what they needed to do or do what they wanted to do with the funds from a good job and they get, you know, get they good days working, they be all right. A lot of these niggas was just, you know, basically brainwashing and thinking that this was the way to do it. You just got to reprogram them, yo. But yeah, man, these kids, you can't be mad, yo. These niggas is doing their job, yo. Because I'm telling you, once, when you flip it, when that little boy that got killed by the cops before he killed, got killed by the cops, he killed somebody. And you called the police. You called the police. Now, if he kills your son, God forbid, and you call police on him and the police kill him, who, you mad?
Yeah.
Are you mad now? Because, like, that was the shit. These two dudes out in Chicago, they killed that little nine-year-old off of some, that was a retaliation. Because apparently, the little boy's father, you know what I'm saying, did some wild shit and he killed the dude's mother or something like that. You know what I mean? It's like, yo, that was a tragedy. That's a fucking tragedy, but I didn't see much of him. You know what I'm saying? But the same city, the young man that got killed in the middle of the street, I think it was last year, because the cops ran down on him and started shooting him. You know what I'm saying? That same city, but that got more press because it was a police officer killing a black kid. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, yo, man, we've definitely, because it's called a sample error. And a sample error is basically when you have like a sample of something like police brutality, and because it's amplified by 100, because you see it all day on your timeline, you think it's a bigger problem than what it is compared to things like gun violence in the neighborhood, drugs in the neighborhood, and things like that. So you think in your mind that, yo, if we just stop the cops, you know what I'm saying, we'll be good. But it's like, yo, imagine how many criminals in your neighborhood right now, if cops stop coming around, will run rampant.
Exactly.
Yeah, y'all bugging, dog. Like, y'all don't. We just need reform. We need to put people to task in our community to become police officers. Put them in the position, and that way they live on that block. Like when I was living in the burbs, my neighbors, you'll see a police car in the driveway. You know what I'm saying? Like, ain't shit going down on that block. Not one piece of shit going down on that block, yo. You know what I'm saying? Because the cop lives there. You know what I mean? So it's shit like that. We don't have many people. The cops that ride through my fucking block don't live here. I tell you that. I can tell you that. I don't see none of these cops out here. You know what I'm saying? When it comes down to like community shit. You know what I mean?
It's going down.
Yes. My cousin, son, Rihanna's road manager. That's my cousin.
Oh wow.
He got killed out here. Yeah, he got killed out here. You know what I'm saying? And that's how I met him, because he's my cousin's cousin. Like, he's not blood related to me, but that's my peoples. You feel me? Like, when I was in church, you know what I'm saying? He was the musician at church, and I was a drummer boy at church and all of that. And I was my cousin and, you know, all of that. And I met him, and he was mad cool. And apparently, he had got to the point where he was, like, Rihanna's, like, role manager. And he was with Nicki Minaj, and I think he was, like, her role manager, too. She out in Philly with Meek or whatever. And my cousin, he go to a bar and grill real quick to get something to eat or whatever after the show. He's hollering at some girl. The girl's boyfriend or ex-boyfriend, who used to be an employee there, he got fired, came up there, started a beef with my cousin, and stabbed the nigga.
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and now he gone. You know what I mean? So it's like, yeah, it's wild out here in Philly.
Man, if I get rocked, this shit for my kids, nigga. It's that real shit.
Even though what we do is wrong,
we still hustle till the sun come up. Crack a 40 when the sun go down. It's a cold winter, y'all niggas better bundle up. And I better be a hotter summer pep out on you just to rock it down. You hot now, listen up. Don't you know cops' sole purpose is to lock us down and throw away the king? But without this drug shit, your kids ain't got no way to eat, huh?
Now that we out of South Central LA with my homie Dell, I figured I'd take it on back to this side of the map, you feel me? To Pennsylvania, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, to be more specific, where I've been staying for about a little over 2 years now. Shout out to Philly. And I felt like it was only right for me to talk to the people that's actually on these corners, that's actually out there hustling, you know what I'm saying? And I talk to them and see if they could draw parallels, you know what I'm saying, between the rap game and the trap game. I even asked them, you know, what made them get into this life, and, you know, how music maybe have helped them or encouraged them to keep going. I even asked them what they would do if they could change their community. So let's say what they got to say out here in Philly.
Interview us, Shell. You heard him? About the interview us.
Yeah, son. Ooh. Me, nigga? This nigga right here.
For what?
For my podcast and shit. It's like an internet like radio show and shit. It's dope, my nigga. Trust me. How long have you been trapping, my nigga?
I'm 20, man. So I've been like probably about like, I've been at least like 7-8 years.
7-8 years? Yeah. All right. So what put you in this position to have to start trapping and shit?
My folks had that shit. My uncle was always selling the tree and shit back in the day, so that's all I wanted to do. That's all I wanted to do is what my uncle was doing. Yeah, that shit pop. I wanted to start a tree bad as shit. I started off with the tree, though. Took it other places.
Did rap music have an influence over that choice that you made as far as to start trapping and shit?
Yeah, you can say that. I listened to a lot of that shit. Young Jeezy, my nigga.
Word.
That's why I first listened to that shit. It took to my mind. Jeezy. Heavy Gotti, Heavy Jeezy. Hov my biggest influence, but I like Hov. He in my top five always. Mm-hmm. My top five best rappers, Hov, Jeezy, Kiss, Fab, Meek always in my top five. A Philly nigga, that's always my top five, regardless.
For as long as you've been out here, do you feel like the risk is worth the reward?
Fuck no, sometimes it is, sometimes it ain't. The money sound good, that shit ain't really jail time, I'll tell you right now. Jail ain't for nobody.
Word.
Fuck how hard you is, that's jail shit corny.
Hell yeah, nigga. So, what's your exit plan?
I got a son named D. I'm trying to chill for real, I can't even afford to be caged up out here, so. I'm trying, I be running around school and shit, so I do that shit too. I'm trying to dance with the college right now. I even college, I'm in trade school right now.
You in school?
Yeah, I run around school and shit, yeah.
For sure.
I like school. I ain't never had a problem going to school.
So, what advice you got for niggas who look at this life and shit and may want to get into it?
If you ain't in it now, don't get in it. If you ain't been in it in the last few years now, don't get in it. Sure. It's 2015. If you wasn't in it before then, don't get in it now. It's too late.
I've been trapping since I was like 15 years old.
Word. So how long is that? How old are you?
I'm 27.
All right, for sure.
I really got into life because it was just like, that's what was right there in front of my face. At first, it was just like, that's what was in front of my face. That's what attracted me on. Then when I realized, like, that's what I needed to do to survive, that's what really turned me on more. The glamour of it turned me on. The beginning of it, getting the money, fucking the girls, getting the cars and shit. But after I grew up from, the 13, 14 era and I had to have some money in my pocket and make a way for me, that's what really turned me on. Like the fact that I don't got to clock in at a job. I could just post over my homies and make money at the same time.
So during this time, was rap music influential in your life?
No.
Nah.
Rap music wasn't, it was like, when I was making the money, I'm happy, I'm counting it, I'm bobbing to it and all that. But that shit wasn't about no rap music. That shit was about whatever they were saying in the rap songs, I was living. I ain't need no rap music to motherfucking to wake up every day.
Like, right.
When Jeezy said, man, wake up and hit the motherfucking block, it wasn't no rap music telling me that shit, no. My mindset, my brokenness of my sisters and me gotta eat, that's what made me wake up every day. I mean, basically what the rap music is like motivation. But it's not like, it's mind motivation. You got mind motivation and just motivation from the muscle. I already had my motivation from the muscle. Now it's just like the mind motivation. Like, if I'm out there, I'm young. Like, I'm out there 15, 16, 17. So I'm you can influence me anyway. So if my favorite rapper talk about the same thing I'm living in life, I'm going to listen to that and I'm going to keep it going. It's like, it's mind motivation. Like, if you climb a Mount Everest, you keep telling yourself, I'm about to make it to the top. You're going to keep making it to the top. You dig what I'm saying? You keep telling yourself that. But in our ways, we just put our favorite song on repeat. You dig what I'm saying? Like, we make it to here. We're going to keep on making. We're going to stay the fuck out here. And we're going to do what we got to do until we make the motherfucking money. It was just there.
So it was like
at the same time. Yeah. Right there in that perspective, my theme music, like I was Stone Cold Steve Austin. I'm not coming out to that. I'm coming out to Young Jeezy, Trap or Die 2. You dig what I'm saying? Shit like that. Yeah.
Word.
Coming up with friends in the street, like we all, I'm 27 years old, so I was born in 88. You dig what I'm saying? 80 babies. So any nigga that was coming up around, like all my niggas and shit, they were from the same age. They mom was from the same era. So your mom and dad, they selling, they smoking crack. You dig what I'm saying? Like that's what it was. Like, I had, like, a good, you know, 4 or 5 friends growing up and shit that was like my age, you know, running my circle and shit. And I'm giving, like, out of 5 of us, 3 of our moms or parents smoke crack. You dig what I'm saying? It was nothing. So I done served my friend mom. I done served my mom. You dig what I'm saying? At the point of the time, like, you ready to attack. You out there, you know, with the product and all that shit, with the good product. So you gonna serve whoever come up. If your mom a fiend, and she going for the best product. You got the best product. You know it is what it is. But you got to think, it's not like the, it's not really like savage in this as it sound. Like, I'm 16. I'm still a kid. You dig what I'm saying? All I'm saying is dollar sign. I'm not saying like, damn, this is my mom right here. You dig what I'm saying? I'm 27 now, and I won't do it today. But at 16, 11 years ago, you got to think, like, I'm like you saying, talk about rap music. Anything that like influence my mind. It's not just it's I had to do it, like I had to get money. And it, like at the point it was just like me getting money, it just turned into a lifestyle. So if you wanted this shit and I got the shit, you can get the shit. My mom,
for sure.
Your mom, whoever mom. I mean basically my exit plan is like one thing like what the game is either make money or you don't. It's either motherfucking you got every hustler got a good window. You dig what I'm saying? Like, and since I'm 27, my window is closing. You dig what I'm saying? I got like a good, I'm not going to get myself to 30. I'm going to get myself to 29. Like, basically, if I can't take this money that I'm getting, you dig what I'm saying? That I know how to get, that I'm supposed to be perfecting. Like, I've been out there since I was 15. I'm 27. That's 12 years. My craft supposed to be perfected. So if I can't take no money that I'm getting from the track and turn it into like a business, no matter what I'm doing, even I'm doing, you know, houses, you know, open up business, whatever the case may be, if I can't take my money and do what I'm supposed to do from that, I deserve to be fucked up. You dig what I'm saying? I deserve, because like, I took the easy way out. So when I turned 30 and all that, if I'm one of them motherfucking old heads, you know, that's riding a bike and doing construction, wearing a book bag and shit, that's what I get. My exit plan is really to take this money, you know, to buy something, you know, flip it and do something productive with it. For my kids and shit, I got 2 kids, they 4 and 5. Like, they old enough to know what daddy doing, you dig what I'm saying? They old enough to know, do daddy got a job, what do daddy do? Like, you know, they watch TV, they in the world and shit every fucking day. So they know it's either, you know, you go to work or you don't, or you doing something that you ain't supposed to be doing. You know, these kids are way smarter than we was and shit. My goal is to take my money and to flip it. And whatever, like, and it don't matter, like, what I flip it in, as long as I'm flipping it into something legal. You dig what I'm saying? Something legal and not just the same old dumb shit that I've been flipping in all my motherfucking life. Like, I can say and preach the word all motherfucking day, like, don't do this. Just wait till you turn 18, you know, shit gonna get better, man, you gonna get a good job and all that. But if you're 14 and your lights are cut out, what the fuck can I tell you? You dig what I'm saying? I can't sit and tell you, wait till you're 18, you get a good job, and you going, this shit gonna look better, you know all that. You 14 with nothing to eat, what the fuck can I tell you right now? You dig what I'm saying? You gonna do the same thing that I did. That is just the easy way to do. The best I could just tell you, the way I could just tell, that I tell all my young boys is, that is 14 to 15, because there's a whole lot of them that I know. Just like, just wait it out. Like, life always get greater later. Like, you only get a childhood once. So when you know you turn 21s and the 22s, and you start having the kids, and you gotta start paying the rents and shit for the first time, you rather do it as a working man than a hustling man. Because one thing about a hustling man, the money is never guaranteed. The working man is always guaranteed. The hustling man can get robbed, can get motherfucking killed, can get locked up any given day. You can't even blink. You dig what I'm saying? Because all you, like, you gotta worry about, like, life situation. You gotta worry about street situation. But the working man, all you gotta worry about is if Uncle Sam paying you on time and shit. You dig what I'm saying? Like, you don't always be 20 and 30 forever. You're going to be 20, 30, 40, 50. And then before that, that 401k got to kick in. You dig what I'm saying? Ain't no 401k for the street nigga. That's why I just said on the last question, if I'm past 30 and I'm doing construction, I'm walking around with a book bag, you know, riding on a bike, that's what I get. Because, like, I slacked out the whole other way. So you work hard, you dig what I'm saying? Like, I know, like, the young kid coming up, they smoke weed and all that shit. You know, they think they need money in their pocket and all that shit. You know, to press the girl, you know, get the good sneak, good clothes. But you really just wait it out and just put the work in and time in like American citizen supposed to do. You'll be all right.
What I would do is, one thing, I'm a, I'm going to speak on schools, but I'm going to go ahead and buy me a nice little building. I'm trying to buy a couple buildings and everything. And I'm going to, you know, restore the feeling. I want to restore the order, you feel me? I want to, like, buy some buildings, you let these people raise their kids, I'm gonna buy some nice houses and work with them. And then, because, you know, I come from the struggle, so I understand how it go. I understand how it is to not really have it, to I ain't gonna let niggas dick me, you feel me? But I'm gonna work with motherfuckers with the rent and everything, I think. And another thing, what I wanna do is, I want to build some gyms. I want to get some more boxing gyms inside the city. Feel me? Because I see a lot of them dying out. Like, joints that I went to, that I came up going to, they ain't here no more. You feel me? So I want to restore the feeling. I want to restore the order with that. I mean, I want to build a lot of boxing gyms and shit. Get these kids, you feel me? Get these young boys something to do at the school, you know what I mean? And show them the proper way to fight and everything. Like, you know what I mean? I want these young boys to start, not even just young boys, young girls, anything. I want them to start using their hands again. Like, I ain't saying use it for for a bad decision or anything, but be out here fighting in the streets, but I see fighting, and when they understand the art of fighting, they wouldn't even want to be out this joint fighting, you know what I mean? Just fighting, just to be fighting, you feel me? So, but it's something to do, and I really, like, look at that stuff, like, it's
good,
art,
though.
You feel me?
That's
it's art.
That's dope. What about you, man? What would you do? Change your community, son.
In schools, you know, it's the next generation. Niggas gonna be out here wilding like Chirac if they ain't in school at 12, 13 years old. Niggas gonna be toting pistols, moving work. Shit, this gonna be just like 2006 again, they closed the fucking school.
So you will open up schools?
Never could. Oh, recreation centers. All types of little football organizations, whatever kids like to get into. We got open things like that, give out book bags. Put recreations, you know, in schools and all that. Give out book bags. Let them know that somebody love them. And
that falls right out of the category.
That's how they gonna get on track.
You know, I'm gonna state this. I don't back down from no challenge or whatever. But I really want to do like things that I know that I really can make a difference from. You feel me?
You know, when kids get locked up and they got to get sent up to the games and all that shit for cases, I want to open up some type of home to where those kids, before they get sent out to the games and all that, they got an opportunity to go to, like, a group home, where they got to go to school every day. You know, they got chores in the house, get, allowance every week, you know, shit like that. If you have a nice little home for kids before, you know, before they get sentenced,
exactly,
they have a joint, and like, I would want to hire motherfuckers that was locked up, like, as staff and as security, to talk to the kids there because they was in jail, so they can try to straighten them out.
They could tell them they a scammer.
Yeah,
that's real though, right? My brother
said that's
a hella good idea. Yeah. My brother said something real good, because I believe as though it definitely should be something. I mean, a criminal is a criminal, but
yeah.
I mean, you do the crime, you do the time, but I really feel as though with these kids, it should be something in the middle, in between of dumb, they making their mistake and straight jail.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? I believe it should be something in the middle of that. Like, just like he said, like, some type of program that should be in the middle. Like, if you fuck up past that program,
then that's when you go. Like, you had, like, stripes.
It gotta,
like,
be something rules, in the middle.
It's gonna be rules and all that. If you fuck up inside the home, you get sent back. I mean, you know, you get sent up to the games and all that, because, you know, that'll be a chance for motherfuckers. Like, on the school tip, like, I, you know, like, have a shit,
I done witnessed it.
Had a shit set up to where as though school buses come in the front of that home, pick them kids up, take them to school, and drop them back off. They got to do chores and all that before they try to, you know, game rooms and all that type of shit. I really feel as though that would change a lot of kids' lives.
Word. Yeah, I agree, man.
I done seen it firsthand. Like, it got to be something inside the middle of them making a mistake and going to jail, because I done seen it firsthand. Like, them taking these kids out of their homes and really, like, just putting them around Joe Bob and, like, letting them grow up and doing these little 9 or 12 month bids and hits. Like, that shit messes up these kids' lives. Like, I mean, it messes up these young men, basically. And I seen young girls too. Like, I mean, it messes up their whole thing. Process, like, that shit right there is just like basically like just getting them ready for jail. You feel me? Like the big jail. Peace, what's up?
You know I'm the man, boo. Watch them bugs get red though. Blue boys in my hand, boo. Giffy's in my hand, boo. Oh. Watch how quick the Tamu and them boats get ran through. Everything is brand new. Sucker, watch my hand move. What you can do? Focus or no can do. But that hoe she ran through. Talking about that money, I can show you what you can do. Do. Running up through hundreds, I can show you what you can do. Do. Thumb it. Let me show you what you can do.
I think that was a real interesting set of answers that I got from the trap niggas out here in Philly. You know, one of the things that's clear to me in a lot of cases is that these young men and even young women are put in these positions or born into these circumstances that they have to deal with. I don't think anybody, and I've said that in previous episodes, are born wanting to commit crime or born destined to commit crime. I can't be too mad at the people adjusting to the life that they're living. I'm not agreeing with it. I don't condone it. Personally, I wouldn't advise a young person to ever jump into drug dealing at all. And even as you heard, like, the ones who are out there right now, they don't want the youngins to do what they're doing. That's just clear to me. But moving on, I called the homie King Cassius up. Now, I called my homie Cassius up off the strength of the fact that he represents the lifestyle of men out here who are trap niggas and rap niggas at the same time, and working with that dichotomy throughout their entire life. And he gave me a perspective that I didn't even look into really on rap, specifically trap music, and how it affects the niggas who actually live that life in these streets and actually sell drugs and actually are jugging and actually are trapping. And he gave just his insight on the situation.
I jumped off the porch, just street shit, period. Like, I'm going to say, honestly, like 16. I want to say 15 because I was in the streets 12, 13, 14, just running around doing wild shit. But I was out here with a purpose, like 16. And then it's like everything just been elevated, going to different levels. I might be doing one thing at one time, like a motherfucker. I might be jugging phones. Niggas act like they can't get no money. Motherfuckers don't want no money. Like, a lot of wares to pop up with a couple bands, dog. This is what you gonna do with them bands. Niggas don't have mind space to keep the shit flowing.
That's the homie Cassius. And I asked him, my first question for him was, does he think trap music has had an influence over the young niggas out here listening to the music? Has it influenced them to want to get out there and start selling drugs? Is it something that has influenced them to commit crimes or do bad shit?
I'm going to answer this with a no. Simply because the word trap has been so loosely watered down to where trap is like ASAP Rocky now. Like, you know what I'm saying? And ASAP Rocky and them not trapping. That's not to say that they neither good nor bad people or the diss them or not. It's like that verb was calling himself a trap lord. You know what I'm saying? It only makes sense. if you really in the street, then you really understand what Gucci and them talking about. He not talking about that shit. They want to look the part, but they know better. Like, I know my young niggas that be in the gym that play basketball, and they call that the trap. Or motherfuckers that's in college, when they in class, they say that that's the trap. Or when they in the gym, like, so motherfuckers know how to make the trap relevant and relative to what they doing these days. The motherfuckers who supposed to be out here, they out here. And when they ain't supposed to be out here, they filter their way through and get back to regular scheduled programming. You know what I'm saying?
So basically, and I can agree with this, Cassius is saying is that trap music isn't the reason why there's trap niggas. However, the thing that does make trap niggas is living in a situation or living in an environment that is not conducive to have proper economic practices. Cassius told me about what's going on in his city of Flint, Michigan, and what's going on with their water and how it's contaminated.
Listen, man, from a street nigga, man, and I'm also very, very, very knowledgeable, man, very, very scholarly, if I do say so myself. I'm gonna call it like I see it, man. It's systematic genocide, man. And this ain't even like the first part of it. Like, the worst part of our city is the north side. Mind you, all the grocery stores and shit like that, Myers, Kroger's, all them closing down on the north side. So now, they force the motherfuckers to go further, to travel further, and pay higher prices to get food. You cut off motherfuckers' food supply, you cut off a motherfucker or contaminate a motherfucker water supply, what can you expect but for somebody to leave or for somebody to die? They trying to move us out and they trying to kill us. They knew that if they tested the water in the summertime, it would show that the pipes and shit was contaminated or whatever the situation was. So instead, they waited until wintertime when the pipes was frozen and the contaminants wouldn't. It was something like that. They were just on some bullshit. Like, they knew what they was doing, and they trying to cover this shit up. And then some random little university just happened to do a study on our water, and it exposed a big-ass, basically, scandal out of all this shit.
So this is just a small glimpse of the environment that Cashin has been growing up in and living in his entire life. Functioning in, you know, doing everything that he could, go to school and everything like that. And it just gives you a better scope on the places that these trap niggas are coming from. Because it's not just Flint, it's other places. So I asked Cassius, you know, how has this environment, how has this lifestyle affected your musical abilities as a rapper?
I'm going to tell you one thing, though. I can make that shit way harder to be relevant on a wider scale. It's like, it's too easy to fixate on the everyday shit we see here. You know what I'm saying? Like, it make me a lot more narrow-minded than I want to be music-wise. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can listen to all type of music and know what's hot and know what's the hit, but it's sometimes it's hard for me to jump out my Northside Flint nigga body and get into that artist mode to make them songs. Like, a nigga can write them songs for another motherfucker all day, but when I hear them beats, all I want to talk about is jugging and finesse and how fucked up it is and how my little niggas tearing shit up. It is crazy like that. Like, all I hear is the same shit in my head over and over and over in a different way. They'll fuck with it on the strength of me. Like, I'm a nigga, like, if I did do it, it'd be like on some future shit for the simple fact that niggas would be like, Cash can wear what he want to, or some weird shit. Like, Cash can do what he want to, wear what he want to, say what he want to. He from that way. It's documented. It's well documented he from that way. He just turning up and putting on for the hood. The world wouldn't know about Lil Mexico if it wasn't for Future. Why you think motherfuckers like Young Scooter would die for Future? Scooter ain't never switching his style up. He a real street nigga. He understand his lane just like you understand the role that Future plays. He putting on for everybody. You gotta love it. You gotta respect it. You gotta appreciate it. You know what I'm saying? It's bigger than, or he ain't keeping it real. Because if you listen to it, you know he's keeping it real. He can sing the shit. He can sing it or rap it. It's still gangster. It's still pain in it. It's still soul in it.
And I understand exactly where you're coming from. Like I said, these rappers, they come from these places. They come from selling drugs. They come from this lifestyle. So you can't really be too surprised that they're going to rap about it. You know what I'm saying? Whether you feel like they're glorifying it or not, that's, you know, that's up for debate. You know, I do. I feel like they do. But I still have to realize that that's where they come from. So I asked Cassius, is like, you know, even though they are coming from these places, you know, the masses, by and large, you know, just everybody, a lot of them don't come from it. And they don't hear the negative side of it. They don't really pay attention to the fact that Future has said several times that he's an addict, that he's addicted to the syrup and the lean and all of that. You know, what effect does that have on the listeners? What effect does that have on the community and even fellow rappers or up and coming rappers?
I definitely understand where you're coming from, but it's like I seen a meme and shit, a meme on Twitter, and they had a motherfucker like Future was talking about the codeine and his pain and his depression, and then the motherfucker was like, "Dab." So they gonna dab to it regardless, like they not really hearing it. But I feel like certain shit is for certain people. The beat is for certain people. The flow and the melody for certain people. The look for certain people. The message and the actual lyrics for certain people. Everybody gonna filter through what they want to hear and what they supposed to get. You know what I'm saying? Like, I do feel like people look at the negative more because they just want to turn up, because people don't want to admit their own faults and their own lows and their own depressions. So Future talk about that depression form, but he put it in the form of throwing money or drinking lean and turning up, so it make you feel better. He like, I spent $1,500 on some Balenciagas and then I pulled an eight, so I can forget about it. Like, I really didn't even want to do that. This motherfucker that heard Future say, best thing I ever did was fall out of love. And that made a Future fan, since they going through shit with their bitch. They might not have related to the I blow a bag Future, but they might have related to that Future. Or, you know what I'm saying? That's what it is. Like, it's the power of the music and the power of the person that's delivering the shit when he understands his lane and his role in this shit. Like, even me around here, like, man, y'all don't understand how much motherfuckers fuck with me with this rap shit around here. I see y'all know, but y'all really don't understand. Like, it's like, when they know you out here, and they can see you in the real streets, and they can see you, and you got real loud, and you got real lean, and you got real money on you, and shit like that. That's what they want to see. And, like, it limits yourself, because at the end of the day, we looking at this shit like we in the A. Like, Future and them got, they turned up, we turned up, we got cars, they got cars. At the end of the day, we not being realistic. Like, this the murder capital, this is little as hell, population dwindling fast as hell. Like, people don't understand, like, it's like in Chicago, yeah, it's turned up, but it's areas in Chicago you can go and really don't got to worry about that shit. That's like, all that shit is, like, congested into, like, specific areas, more or less, man. That shit everywhere around here, man. Everybody's shooting everybody around this bitch, motherfuckers, OD and off there are everywhere. Bank accounts getting finessed and jugged every fucking day. And this shit don't stop around this bitch, man. Like, this shit is crazy, bro. And all I can do is relate that in the music. I try to put it in a little cool way because I got the power and the talent too. Luckily, I make it sound a little better than other niggas around here, but it's still a barrier you got to break mentally and, like, musically to even get there, man. It's just crazy when it's all you see.
Ask yourself, if you was Cassius or if you was somebody in these types of areas, and you was a rapper, could you really focus your lyrics on something positive if you're surrounded by things like this every day, all day? You know what I'm saying? I know that there'll be a lot of people who will ask somebody living in these situations, well, why don't you just do something different? Why don't you go to school? What about that?
All the education do is make us tighten up on the criminal aspect, sad to say. It just make me a smoother criminal. I should be applying it to do something different. But who's to say that? I feel like this might be my path. This my life. You know what I'm saying? Not saying that it can't get no better or I don't want to do no different in the long run. But, like, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm supposed to be finessing. I ain't the only motherfucker finessing. And I'm damn showing the black people is the minimum level of finessers when it comes down to it. Whether we know it or not, we not judging nothing like none of these other races is. They done took over the world off finessing and judging. So I ain't doing nothing but getting my little tools and skills in the meantime. I just like the whole fact that a nigga like me, I just want the shit to be all the way me and all the way G, so the shit gonna sound authentic anyways. I'm not sitting down in front of my computer. It's another trap rap parallel. Niggas gotta get hit to my nigga Starlito for the simple fact that if you a real nigga and you got a mind and you going through shit and you introspective, you gonna have, like, thoughts about why is life like this, and you know what I'm saying? Like, I know shit ain't supposed to be like this, but this situation is, and I'm using this to get there and this and that, and it's uplifting and all this. I can listen to that in my daily gym routine before I can listen to a Kendrick or a J. Cole simply because he relates to my life more. I'm not the good kid, bad city. That's not me. I wasn't a nigga looking at niggas doing this shit. I was the nigga he was looking at, so I can't relate to that as much. I'm not the nigga that played basketball and was cool and then switched over and started turning up like J. Cole. I'm not that nigga. So it's different. I can't relate to that. I'm the nigga that all Wild West was in the stands with money in my pocket, talking shit, leather coat. I was burning. I wasn't never Kyle Watson. We was in the stands, dog, turning up, betting on the niggas I was hooping, talking shit. So I'm just saying that to say, that's a, like a trap rap parallel. Like, I call J. Cole, like, speaker computer music, laptop music. Because that's the only, like, time that it really relates to me. I can't work out to that shit. It don't get my blood pumping and nothing. I'm listening to Jeezy, man. I'm listening to Thug Motivation, man. I don't get no clearer than that. He told niggas what it was 10 years ago, man. This shit's Thug Motivation, man. It's like niggas listen to Future for the turn up, but they not really listening. And then it's a whole other aspect, the free band aspect. That's really what I'm into. Like, so think about what he said on that. Thought it was a drought. He said I strapped the dopest spouse. The first time I gave her an ounce, I put some free bands in her account so that bitch don't be running the mouth. He finessed the bitch account and judged her shit for like 20, 40 bands probably. He put some free bands in her account. If you don't know what that mean, then you ain't jugging. You don't. That type of shit turn me up when I hear a nigga rapping about jugging and finessing. That shit turn me up. For the sole purpose that I just got off the phone with a bitch and asked her, and she called me about a bank account trying to make some money. So if a bitch calling me about a bank account trying to make some money, she know I'm jugging, or she figure I'm jugging. And I just hear Future talk about putting some free bands in the bitch account, because she probably let the bag get dropped off at her crib, or she let him judge her account for 50 bands or something. Then that shit relates to my life. I like listening to shit that I go through on the turned up level, because it let me know that this shit real and I can make money doing this shit. I ain't got to rap about nothing I don't want to rap about. I can rap about the shit I do, and it can sound good, and it can be on the charts. It, you know what I'm saying? It can be that way. Future already did all that R&B. I'm just honest, all that, trying to make motherfuckers fuck with him. He took it to the streets and niggas jumped on his dick. That's what it is. That's why Zaytoven the god of this shit, because Zaytoven the reason behind a lot of these niggas, like that sound, that feeling. It's a certain bounce. It's a certain trap. It's a judge feeling. It ain't nothing like it. It ain't nothing like a motherfucking bag getting sent to a crib. And you open that bitch up in the touchdown, and you following the tracking number on the, and you following the UPS tracking, and that bitch drop, or you waiting on the check to clear in the motherfucker account that bitch go through, or it ain't no feeling like it, dog. So when you hear a nigga rapping about that shit, you like, nigga, I'm turnt, nigga, that's my life, nigga, turn up. Nigga, I catch bags too, nigga, I bust accounts, whatever you do. And niggas be rapping about busting scripts. Yeah, I love that shit. I'm an all-around hustler, all-around jugger. I tell a nigga, jobs, rob, grams, scams. I ain't got no shame in getting this money. Y'all put on a fresh shirt and get this money. It ain't no, I ain't tripping. That's the whole difference between me and a lot of these niggas. They doing it for the look. I'm in this shit for the paper, dog. I'm trying to win so I can really focus on this music shit. Niggas is jugging just to buy pills and buy Jordans and shit. We do this shit because it's all for the look and the image that we done built up. You got to stay crispy. You got to be fresh. But at the end of the day, we're trying to turn up for a check. My mind's so fucked up. I get a job back Kroger to find a way to infiltrate that bitch and jug. Everything I think about is jugging. If I work at a factory or a shop or something, I'm trying to link up with some white motherfuckers who do pills. It's just that it's just my life and my mind frame is trying to make money. So if I'm on the clock, that ain't enough. I want to make some more cheese. You feel me? It's just that simple. I want to always overjudge the situation. Like, the money got to make money.
Now, understand, Cassius is not telling people to do this. He's not telling people who aren't criminals to commit crimes. This is just his way of life. This is the life that he's been living for this long. And this is current behavior. You know, like he says, not to say that he won't do other shit, but for right now, this is the mind frame that he's been in for this long. It's no different than any other profession or a person who's been doing something for that long. You're just going to be that used to that way of life and that source of income. And one thing I do want to make clear is that this lifestyle, it's not like it doesn't come without consequence. You know, there are things that can happen to you when you're out here living this lifestyle that people like my man Cassius has signed up for. They understand the risk that is involved when it comes to this lifestyle, and he actually gave me a few instances where that actually has happened.
First time a bitch will act like she trying to judge with you and let you judge her account, then she'll play roles, and now, like, they'll close her account, she'll tell on you, or it just snitching always been a part of the game. You can get told on. You can get, like my man, he was jugging motherfucker situations and kind of find out. He jugged the motherfucking chief of police bank account. So they was trying to like press his shit to the max. Luckily, he had some fees put up, so he was able to, you know what I'm saying, cash a decent lawyer. So he still walked away with the motherfucker with like three felonies, four felonies, you know what I'm saying? So let's just put this in perspective. You got four felonies, even though they're non-violent. How many jobs is really gonna hire you, though? Like, it ain't that many, like, felony-friendly jobs, you know what I'm saying? All you gonna do is go to jail, link up with some more niggas that's jugging or doing something that you doing, and find a smarter, better way to do this shit. Niggas don't go to jail to do the right thing. They go to jail to find out how to do what they doing better. Niggas say, man, go hard at that bag. You think you finna go and get a job? You got two felonies, my nigga.
Time. Same nigga all the time. Real nigga time. All the time. It's about that time though. Hey, I put myself in some crazy situations all the time. Where my time could be up, I could face a lot of time. In the mall and in the trap, that's why I stay out all the time. Bitches tying at my phone, they be complaining all the time. Time again, I say it all the time. Real nigga, that is how I play it all the time. Time again, I see it in time. Same nigga, that is how I play it all the time.
So, after going through this journey, talking to Dell, talking to the trap niggas out here in Philly, and talking to my bro Cassius, like, I definitely built a better understanding of what's going on here. So, here's my afterthought after, you know, going through all of this with my guests. Okay, number one, there has to be an accountability in the home first. We can't just jump out at the artists and blame them first, because the fact of the matter is they are coming out of these environments. Like, they're not making this shit up, or even if they're embellishing, the stuff that they're rapping about is real life things that happen in these areas, and we can't ignore that, and we have to do better. So let's deal with the home first. So parents, mothers and fathers out there in the community, specifically the black community, father and mother of your children, monitor what they listen to, monitor how they behave, and monitor, you know, just how the things that they're ingesting are affecting their lives. That's first and foremost, before we can even blame a Future or blame a Jeezy or whatever for their music or their content. We have to understand the fact that this music is still something that you choose to listen to, and that you let impressionable people in your family listen to. So let's deal with that first. My second accountability charge is to the artist. Understand that there are millions of people who listen to your music, and the things that you say resonate deeply within a lot of them, a huge number of them. So understand that when you're saying certain things in your songs, people are ingesting them in very different ways, like Cash just said. But at the end of the day, these lyrics, they do affect your conscious, whether it be the subconscious or just the way you are behaving overtly. So just understand that there is a responsibility of the artist to start talking about more positive things. So, for instance, if we're talking about having to sell drugs or being in these environments, let's just talk about how that's actually wrong, or how there are ways to do other things then sell drugs. Or if you're gonna be what I heard a lot of rappers say back in the days, like, you're gonna be a reporter for the hood and all of that, if you're gonna do it that way, make it an awareness campaign, in the sense that this is the life that people are living out in these areas, you know what I'm saying, and there's actual solutions to it, you know what I'm saying, and that you can tell them that there is hope, that there are solutions, and there are things that we can do differently to get us to a better place. I really appreciate artists who do that. Cassius has songs like that, you know what I'm saying, where he talks about just the environment that he's living in. It's not all the time where these rappers are just glorifying it. Some of them, like Cassius, really do talk about the things that's going on and how it's fucked up. They know it's fucked up. You know what I'm saying? It goes back to what I was saying as far as not being born a criminal. And lastly, and just as important, we have to start taking supporting our artists more serious. It's to the point now, a lot of these corporations, a lot of these record executives are basically in control of the content that's being put out. And when that's the case, they have control of what's being played, what's being heard, you know, and what gets the big bucks. But if we owned our own record labels or our own factions to be able to push our music the way we want, we would have a better balance of, you know, the positive and the negative, if that's what you know, want to call it, if you will. And then when it's time to support what our money is, whether it be buying merch, buying a show ticket, whether it be buying an album, we gotta be there. We gotta be the ones to do it, because that's how our artists flourish. That's how they're able to get to the next level. And then, because we're using our money responsibly, we'll have our artists that come up out of our communities and give back whenever, you know what I'm saying, they can. Because that's what it's for, is to be able to perpetuate it. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, this ain't no fairy tale that I'm trying to dress up or nothing like that. I understand that this won't be a 100% thing, but if we just start practicing these things, we'll be in a better position. I appreciate everybody, you know what I'm saying, listening to the podcast. This is a real big episode for me. I really dig it. I really hope you guys liked it. You know what I'm saying? Review the podcast. Tell your friends. Subscribe to me on iTunes. Follow me on SoundCloud. Just type in Intelligent Rebel Squad Cast. You know what I'm saying? I'm definitely going to pop up. You guys are awesome. I really appreciate it. Shout out to Dell. Shout out to Cassius. Shout out to the niggas that I was talking to on the block. I appreciate everybody. And as always, stay intelligent. Stay rebellious.
Squad. I put myself in some crazy situations all the time. When my time could be up, or I could face a lot of time. In the mall and in the trap, that's where I stay at all the time. Bitches tying at my phone, they be complaining all the time. Time, 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 time again, I say it all the time. Real nigga, baby, so I play it all the time. Time, 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 time again, I say it.